Welcome to Radio Blast, beloved friends, and hello, Joseph.
Hello, God bless you.
Thank you. Well, you know, we received a lot of messages lately from our brethren who are kind of sharing their heart about situations that they are going through, such as difficulties in their families or the way they evangelize to their friends, they encounter obstacles. So we actually wanted to share something about this tonight. But you, Joseph, a while ago, you shared a beautiful message with the Italian brethren exactly on this subject. And I was wondering if maybe I could translate it tonight to English for the English-speaking brethren.
Okay, sounds good. You are a pretty good translator. You translate in many languages.
Well, pray for me, because I speak a little of each language, but just a little. So I just mix up everything sometimes.
Yes, I don't like to repeat messages. So since I already gave it in Italian, so go ahead if you can do that. It's a big blessing. Praise God.
Yes. So I'm going to play the recording of the message in Italian, and I'm going to speak on top in English. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Salve a tutti, carissimi fratelli e sorelle. Ciao, Giuseppe.
Io ti benedica.
Questa è una registrazione un po' speciale. This recording is a little special because many of you wrote to us desperate messages, like a cry from your heart about your families, that they are not in unity with you. The most drastic situations are those when the wife or the husband, they are not Christians and they actually make fun of your faith. But even those of you who do have a Christian partner, in many situations they do not understand your desire to put Jesus first in your life or to go evangelize. These dear brethren, Joseph, they wrote with so much pain in their hearts and are asking, what shall we do?
E guarda, secondo me bisogna, l'amore non fallisce mai, non sbaglia mai, l'amore ha pazienza.
Look, according to me, love never fails. Giving love will never be wrong. So give love to these partners who don't want to cooperate with you, who don't want to hear about Jesus, or maybe they even go to church, but they are just nominal Christians. You mean the love, but also the word, no? Yes, evangelize them, but without banging the Bible in their heads. In other words, without pointing fingers. You, sinner, you're not reading the Bible. Avoid such kind of religious attitudes. Just give them love. And to this man or this woman, you actually married them. So give them love. A Christian person never divorces. In any case, it's always the other one, the unbeliever, who separates himself. The Christian person continues evangelizing, going for Jesus, but he does not forsake his family. Many times, unfortunately, the family forsakes the Christian person. There are situations we know when the family forbids that Christian person to evangelize, but the Christian person keeps going for Jesus. But the main solution is to always give love. And then there's going to be the time when you have to decide to serve and follow your heavenly bridegroom or the earthly one. What do you do when you talk to your partner about Jesus, but they answer you, be quiet? Well, then just be quiet. If they don't want to hear, you cannot force them. Usually the unbeliever tries to force the believer to become more worldly, to behave worse. But don't you, believer, try to force the unbeliever, like they do through offenses and bad words. So don't go to the partner who is not a believer and force him to listen to God and to read the Bible. What we do, Christians, we give love to those who don't believe. We give love and love and love until the Lord does something, one way or another. Until God either unites the family or the family will divide. When a family divides, it's always, or it should be always, because of the unbeliever. Because the believer should always fight to have a united family. Unfortunately, there are many separations too, but this should be only because of the devil or the unbeliever. We also heard situations when a certain brother or sister, in their zeal, in their faith, they tried, like you say, to force their relative to sit down and listen to this message, to the Bible, but This family relatives, they were actually surprised because it was against what they learned in church, against their doctrines, and they got offended. But the believers did it in good faith, with good intentions. You cannot force your relative to believe in God. You can only give love and love and love. And then slowly, slowly you bring them closer to Jesus. You will never make it to bring people close to Jesus if you criticize them. If they don't want to hear about Jesus, don't talk about Jesus. But then how do you evangelize them? With love, only with love. And does love work? Well, it works better than just banging the Bible in their heads. You know, in the Bible there are also rebukes. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees. In the Bible there are many things which can be wrongly applied. The Pharisees of today are also using the Bible. Many people preach the negative parts of the Bible. For example, they say that Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and they apply that to one of the relatives. Say, you generation of vipers, see, it's talking about you. So this kind of evangelization just makes the relatives cool down. Instead of just giving love, and I mean love in every ways. And once in a while, yes, use the Bible, the scriptures, but only like a drop of love. Like the cherry on the cake. The Bible says this. So the relatives, they have to fall in love with you. And they have to wonder, but how come you're always happy, you're always positive? I treat him bad and he treats me good. I slap him on the face, he shows me the other cheek. And then they're going to put you questions. They want to know why you're like this. For example, our sister Dora had a mother who was an atheist. And Dora was coming to do Bible studies with us. But the day came when the mother, the communist, was forbidding her and was beating her up and cut her hair. And Dora had to read the Bible under the blanket at night with a flashlight. She only had pieces of the Bible. I was breaking the Bible in pages, giving her a piece at a time. But after the mother divorced for the second time, she was destroyed. And between tears, Dora talked to her about Jesus and brought her to salvation. And the mother now is a Christian writer. She writes books. So the day will come when you do have to give the word, the Bible, and the message of Jesus. But not like this. The Bible says you're going to go to hell if you don't pray. No, this is the way to actually make people run away. Because in our days, many religious people evangelize like this. They evangelize like this, the homosexuals, the sinners. But instead, we should go with love, with Jesus. And how do you do to convince them? Let's say your relatives are Christians. They believe in the Bible and Jesus. But they are not sure about what you're saying about the end time, about the Antichrist, and they don't want to do anything. They want to stay calm, like until now. They don't want to prepare. They don't want to get troubled. But they do believe in Jesus. They go to church. They are born again, even. How do you convince them about the truth of the Bible? Going to church doesn't mean anything. There are churches like Revelation 3:1. It says, the church of Sardis, you have the name that you're alive, but you're dead. Also, the Pharisees were going to the synagogues. Well, how can you convince them to listen to the end time message? Well, somebody just told us, we don't need to follow the end time prophecies, we must follow Jesus. Other people say, well, in my church, they don't talk about the microchip. So why do your wife worry about it? Well, the anti-message is not the microchip. It can be whatever. The mark of the beast can be a postal stamp. It doesn't matter. When it will exist, we will know for sure what it is. It can be a colander in your head. I don't care what it's going to be.
Un cartone vuoto con due buchi con gli occhi per guardare. Il messaggio non è...
The message of the end time is not about the microchip. The message is, do not take the mark of the beast. According to me, it's the microchip, but it can be anything. Some husbands tell the wife, well, let's go to church. In the church, the pastor doesn't talk about the mark of the beast. On TV, they don't talk about the mark of the beast. So stay peaceful. Let's live in peace. Nothing is happening. But of course, on TV, they don't talk about the mark of the beast. You think the devil will come on TV and say, "Watch out, I'm coming with my horns and I'm going to push you all to hell." In TV, they won't talk about it. In TV, they will do like Hitler did, the way they presented Nazis and Hitler, the way they do today with Obama, the way they do the German Prime Minister. They speak so good. And the silly people, they fall in the trap. How do you convince a Christian who believes in Jesus, but he doesn't want to go further?
Cerchiamo di mettere in chiaro, noi non possiamo convincerli, solo lo Spirito Santo li può convincere. E se loro non vogliono farsi convincere, non c'è niente da fare. Noi dobbiamo continuare a seguire Gesù. Loro fanno quello che vogliono.
Well, let's clarify things. We cannot convince people, we cannot force people. We keep following Jesus. If they want to follow the religious building, they don't want to obey, put in practice the Bible. If they don't want to understand that God does not live in temples made by human hands, if they don't want, let them go their way. But attention, the same like we don't make it to convince them to follow Jesus, attention that they don't convince you to stop following Jesus, to become a sleepy Christian. If we don't make it to convince them to wake up, don't you let yourself be convinced to become a sleepy Christian. You said initially that a true believer doesn't divorce. But how can somebody continue living like this day by day by day with a family that actually blocks your faith and hinders your faith, your evangelization, doesn't agree with you going on the streets or speak to your friends about Jesus? You really have to decide which husband you want to follow, which is your first family, the one here on earth, which in heaven you won't have, or the heavenly family, which will last forever. Who's your real husband? Your husband in heaven or the one here on earth? Who's your real mother, father, wife, brethren? Jesus said, "My mother and brethren are those who do the will of God." Jesus abandoned her mother to reach us. Jesus abandoned her mother, her brethren. We see this in John 7, verse 5. It says, even his brethren didn't believe in Jesus. But those who write to us, obviously they want to follow Jesus and not their families who are compromising. But you also said that a true believer doesn't divorce. How can somebody still follow Jesus and not divorce? Well, the Christian person does not divorce. Only the unbeliever does. The Christian person is happy to continue evangelizing the partner who's an unbeliever. It says in 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 12, it says, if the unbeliever wants to continue living with the believer, then don't send away the unbeliever. Therefore, let's say, if somebody has a husband who is not a believer, but he wants to continue living with his wife, don't divorce, don't separate. But then it says, if the unbeliever divorces, separates himself, then he can as well separate, and then the believer is not in bondage in such a case, because we are called to live in peace. But when you marry the person in front of God, and at a certain point, this person says, "Yeah, I did marry in front of God, but now I don't care anymore about God. I care about politics, sports, TV, money, and you are my wife, or you're my husband. In my house, you have to behave as a husband or as a wife. Forget about God." In this case, you have to say, "Well, you're not anymore the person that I married, because we got married in front of God, and now you're committing a betrayal." If you want to get married only at the city hall, not in front of God, then fine, you marry an atheist, obviously, and then you're in trouble. But in this case, if this happens in a family, you have to choose. Who is your God? Your partner, your husband or your wife, or it's the God in heaven, Jesus Christ? And if you choose God, then what happens?
continua a dare amore al coniuge, va bene? Continua a dare amore nella speranza di convertirlo. E quindi continua.
If you choose God, then continue giving love to your partner, hoping he will get converted. You continue serving Jesus. What will disturb the unbeliever or the false believer, it will disturb him the evangelization. Because the devil doesn't care you pray. The Pharisees also prayed. Jesus said the hypocrites love to pray. What will bother them is the evangelization. Well, I make you an example right now. Listen, Joseph, let's say in your house comes a friend of yours and starts sharing her heart about all the problems that she's going through. And you would like to bring up Jesus and give the solution. Jesus is the solution to your problems. But let's say your partner doesn't agree, doesn't want you to open your mouth and talk about Jesus. What do you do then? In this case, you should avoid meeting the sheep in your house. You cannot convince your partner to change your house into a church.
Di rispettare il coniuge non credente oppure il finto credente.
Se lui dice a casa mia, you, the believer, have to be sensitive and respect the non-believer. If he says, in my house you don't preach the gospel, you have to say yes and turn the other cheek.
Ecco.
So then you go and evangelize on the streets?
Se ti limiti,
well, this is it.
A non evangelizzare nella
Here
casa,
you have to decide, will you limit yourself to evangelize outside your house or deny Jesus? In other words, the unbelieving partner can forbid you to evangelize in your house. Okay. But he cannot forbid you, telling you, you never evangelize, because that's what the devil wants. And here we need to draw the line and say, stop. Until here, okay, you are my partner, you are my life partner, I married you. But from here on, you don't have the right to enter into my soul and to become my God. Because I married you, my body, not my soul. My soul is married to Christ. When you marry a man or a woman, it's not your soul that gets married. It's your body. Because the soul is married to Christ. And that's why in the Bible it says that in heaven there is no marriage. Thank God for that, because if you see certain husbands or wives here on earth, God deliver us. And exactly how it's going to work in heaven, what kind of unions are there in heaven, we'll find out. So you have to respect the desires of your unbelieving partner, but without compromising your faith in Christ. You must find a way to serve Jesus. That's right, because your life partner is not your God. It shouldn't become some kind of a spirit that forbids you to love God and to serve God. If you just pray passively and read the Bible passively, it's no problem. Many churches do it, and the devil won't disturb you. If you want to go read the Bible while your partner is there watching TV, watching pornography, no problem. Nobody will disturb you. Important is that you clean the house, you cook, you take care of the children, and at night you're in bed waiting for me. Sure, read the Bible. But what really disturbs the devil is not that you read the Bible, but is that you put it in practice. And that's called evangelization. Some people go to evangelize one day a week, like the Jehovah Witnessers. Other people do it every day. We decided to do it that way.
Che lo tiene molto occupato, evangelizza tutto il giorno in continuazione ovunque.
Wherever you are, if you have a chance, people you meet, maybe at work or in a shop or in the bus stop, evangelize anywhere you can. And sometimes we receive messages, for example, the brethren in Germany. They say, here in Germany, they don't want to hear anything. They get offended if we talk about Jesus. Well, I believe it's right, because people there are not very sheepy. What are you doing in Germany? Why don't you forsake the places full of goats? There are few sheep in Germany. They used to be sheepy in the days of Martin Luther. Yeah, but also Germany has to be evangelized. You cannot just forsake it all. Yes, Germany was evangelized, and Germany had its own chances. But just look for the sheep. Don't waste time with goats. Italy, for example, most of the people there used to be sheep, but now even they are becoming goats. Because it's a sign of the times. Jesus also went and evangelized in certain towns where he was rejected. And at the end, Jesus just abandoned them. The angels and Lot were evangelizing Sodom, but then they forsook it and abandoned it, and God destroyed Sodom. And God will do the same with Europe, with Babylon. Now we need to search for the places where there are sheep, not waste time with those places where it's full of goats. Yes, Joseph, but there are brethren in Germany, and they live there. They should evangelize too. How can they do it? Well, if God shows you to stay in Germany, you can as well stay. If God shows you to go evangelize in a satanic church, obey. But make sure it's God who speaks to you. So if you have to stay in Germany and evangelize there, stay there.
Oppure stai cercando di uscire, dovrei stare ancora qualche mese. Come evangelizzare?
Well, how to evangelize the Germans?
In seguente modo, tedeschi o altre nazioni.
And there are also other nations which are just as difficult to reach. I suggest to you to evangelize them with gospel tracts. Have them in your pocket, in your bag, ready to distribute, because usually people do accept a piece of paper. Sometimes they accept a piece of paper, political, advertisement for furniture, selling something. They take it, they look on it, then they throw it away. So everybody will accept a piece of paper from you. I know, because I used to distribute thousands. So read Ezekiel 3 from 17 to 19. It says, warn the wicked, because when he will be destroyed, you must have warned him. If you didn't warn him, I'm going to blame you, my prophet. But if you do warn him and he doesn't get converted, it's going to be his fault. So we must warn the wicked in Germany, in Italy, in the States. The whole world right now is so wicked. Did we explain that you can download the gospel tracts from our radio page? On our radio page, Radio Blast, there is a section in the menu called Articles and an under section called Tracts for Distribution and Printing. So you can print them straight from the radio site, and when you meet people, you can just give them a tract. And the price is always the same, for free. Amen. Paid by the blood of Jesus. More than this, I cannot do. I cannot come and give it out for you and distribute them in your place. And then if you want other messages to distribute, write in, because we have many more. I want to ask you now, Joseph, talking about the end time, concerning how to prepare for the end time, finding a refuge, getting out of the New World Order areas or no. There are people who would like to move, actually change country, but the husband or the wife, they don't agree and they don't understand. They don't want to do anything. Well, try to evangelize them and convince them. And if you cannot convince them, well, then it's their problem. Yeah, but certain parents, they say, how can I forsake my children? Actually, we do know stories like this. Sad stories that they separate and divorce. It's an amazing what's going on today. In our days, they divorce not only because of religion or faith reasons, but also because of money reasons. And there are also situations when one wants to read the Bible, evangelize, the other one forbids it. And it's always the goat one that divorces from the sheep. It's ugly, because after that, the sheep, the person who's a Christian and didn't want to divorce, is obliged to divorce because the law is in the favor of the goat. Unfortunately, there are this kind of laws that sometimes the children are divided. So there are situations which are really terrible when the spouse insists, either you do what I say or I divorce. So you can arrive actually to that point that you say, listen, I cannot deny Jesus. So if we continue the way we do, the time will come when you will have to choose. Let's say the goat spouse may say to the sheep spouse,
ok, noi non potremo mangiare. Ti pare che dobbiamo morire di fame? È logico che questo leader mondiale non vuole.
If we don't receive the mark of the beast, then we cannot buy our food. Don't you see that this great worldwide leader, he wants our good. He wants us to go shopping, buy and sell. But the sheep spouse says, no, look, the Bible says not to take the mark of the beast. Yes, but then the goat spouse will say, oh, but don't you hear what the preachers say? John MacArthur in the States, the leader of the Calvinists, they say, take the mark of the beast and later you repent. Don't you see the churches, they say, don't worry. It's only those Christians who are extremists that say this is the mark of the beast. In reality, it's just a little microchip that they put in your brain or on your hand. Of course, they can make you become a robot. But come on, let's trust some politicians. It's not that all of them are evil. Come on. It's not that everybody is like Hitler or Stalin. I mean, there are also worse ones, no? So come on, let's trust these politicians. All right, Joseph, what do you do when your spouse tells you this? Well, you have to choose. Either you believe the Bible or you believe what he tells you. Okay, so if I choose to believe the Bible, what do I do? Well, today the spouse tells you this, stop evangelizing, you have to obey me. But tomorrow your spouse is going to tell you, take the mark of the beast, we must eat. So there is a certain limit that you can go their way towards them, but then you stop. But if you start making compromises today, say, okay, today I won't evangelize because you say so. Tomorrow we talk about the mark of the beast. You cannot compromise again and again and again. If you in your house, you do your duties as a husband or as a wife. You make sure that the house is clean, the children are taken care of, the rent is paid. Then your spouse has no right to tell you you don't evangelize because let's say you're a woman. You clean the house, you cooked, in the evening you're available for your husband, you love him. But then the time comes, you tell him, listen, now I have to go with my brethren to evangelize. Just like you, husband, every day you watch politics, you watch sport, you do whatever you want. I also have to go an hour, 2 hours, whatever I can with the brethren to evangelize. I don't forbid you to watch TV or to watch pornography or to watch sport or to talk about politics. I don't forbid you, even though I don't agree. So I don't want you to forbid me to go evangelize. I repeat, as long as you just go and pray and read the Bible, the devil won't disturb you. But when you go evangelizing, then the devil will start fighting you, because that's when you save souls, bring them to heaven. So as long as you have a passive faith, your spouse will not forbid you. But if the spouse forbids you from going to evangelize, obviously this marriage is not from God. Because what God unites, let no man separate. But how many of these marriages did God unite? For example, Ahab, King Ahab and Jezebel, Samson and Delilah. There are marriages which are not put together by God. There are people who go to church to get married in front of God, but as soon as they get out of the church after the marriage, they say, goodbye, Jesus, I got the woman I wanted, I don't need you anymore. Now she's under my control. So then you do your duty to live in peace. You fulfill all your duties in the house. You behave as a good husband, but you don't compromise. That's right. You do your jobs, but then tell him, don't forbid my faith. That's a monstrosity. Look, I'm not committing adultery. I'm cooking, I'm cleaning. Why do you forbid me to love God? After all, God is love. And if your spouse forbids you, then do as you wish. But if I would be in your place, I would continue going for God. And then if the spouse starts freaking out, let him do it. If the deal is that I must abandon God, otherwise he forsakes and destroys the family, he can do what he wants. I must follow Jesus. Because the time will come that we'll have to decide about the mark of the beast. If I compromise now, oh, I need to please my spouse, and I don't go evangelize, I don't follow Jesus. Tomorrow you have to decide about the mark of the beast. Who are you going to follow? Yes, there are the children. But when the mark of the beast will come, also the children, some of them will take the mark of the beast, others won't. Some spouses will take the mark of the beast, others won't. Look, for example, let's read Luke 21. Verse 31. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Also Matthew 24, Jesus says, two will be on a field, one will be taken, one will be left. Two will be in a bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Therefore, one in a marriage will be taken, the other one will be left, because maybe he has the mark of the beast. Therefore, watch and pray that ye be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And Luke 21 afterwards also talks about the rapture. It talks about the last generation. There are people who write to us saying, we would like to leave Italy and go live somewhere else for the end time, but my spouse doesn't agree. And this Christian brethren, they feel guilty because they cannot obey and do God's will. Well, I repeat. I can repeat again and again. They have to choose and choose. If you feel called to remain where you are, stay. If you feel called to leave, you have to leave. It can be even God's will for somebody to stay. Well, I don't know God's will for everybody. It's not my place to choose or to prophesy where somebody should go. I believe that most of the true believers should try to leave, to get out, at least the bride of Christ, those who are willing to obey God's voice, to get out of the church benches and go out, not just get out of the New World Order, but the whole area of the West, Europe, the States, it's going to be the area of the Antichrist. It's going to be the main center of the mark of the beast. It's going to be the main place of persecution. In Europe, there is a Eurogent force coming, approaching very fast. It's like a new Gestapo police. And therefore, the oppression will start. Europe belongs to the banks, to the politicians. There is this political group, quite a mafiotic group. They are there in Bruxelles and they are just swimming in money. They set up this political system that they just support each other and they elect each other. It's not people who choose. It's they choose between themselves. So the nations don't count anything anymore. Is the Antichrist who choose their own prime ministers and they just tax the people to pay the banks. It's already a slavery system. And you cannot do anything. I mean, this Antichrist, they also possess the banks and the newspapers. They put their hands on the financial system and on the media, and people really don't count anything anymore. We are here in South America and we are really happy that we are in a free place. People here are normal. You can evangelize right and left. You can stop people anywhere you like and talk to them about Jesus and they listen to them. In Italy, by now, like in Germany, they just spit on the floor and they walk away. People from Germany, they wrote to us saying, I evangelize. I go to a German person here, talk about Jesus, and the person tells me, how dare you stop me and talk to me about Jesus? I'm happy that homosexuality is legal. In other words, they just try to offend you. In other words, they already have some kind of a mark of the beast, these guys. Because they are sealed and marked in their conscience. They already chose. They chose money. They chose to adore their work, to worship money. They put their faith in politicians, not in Christ. They put their faith in the laws created by human beings instead of the Bible. Therefore, my counsel is, yes, leave those places, because Europe is just at the point of the rise of the Antichrist, just like Germany was right before Hitler rose. And then even if you remain there, maybe to make somebody happy, maybe you have a spouse that is more Antichrist than Christian, and you stay there for him, but you think that tomorrow this spouse will make you happy? Be careful, because many of the spouses who today reject Jesus, they will lead you to the mark of the beast. The houses, the possessions, the children, which now you would lose, you will lose them tomorrow, but for a much higher price. Therefore, pray that God will change the heart of your spouse today. And if it doesn't change, then you keep going up on the mountain, and from up high you call, come up here where I am. And if they don't want, leave them alone. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 7, how do you know if maybe you will save your husband or your wife? Well, Joseph, you many times also said that those who cannot leave the West, make sure you prepare there where you are. Even this is difficult, because these Christian brethren, they have to do everything by themselves. The spouse doesn't help them at least to prepare there. But why don't you go evangelize? That's the answer to everything. Because evangelizing, you will meet other brethren who will unite with you. That's what I did. I worked with all kinds of religions, and at the end, God told me, forsake them all and go evangelize. And that's how I met you and Dora and everybody. You were not even a believer. And I met many people that became Christians. Evangelization gave me the answers to all my problems. And now many of the brethren I evangelize, they work with me, but many others which are not here. We must be faithful in the least. Do not compromise. When you know 2 plus 2 makes 4, and the spouse tells you, no, it makes 5, you say, I'm sorry, 2 plus 2 makes 4. The Bible says, follow Jesus, and not the world. And this politician comes, who's going to be the Antichrist, and says, no, forget the Bible. Let's try to help the world. Then you need to say, no, I'm sorry. The way to help the world is the way Jesus says, not the way the politicians say. Be careful not to make compromises, because a little compromise today, tomorrow you'll make a little bigger compromise, then another one bigger. And we end up like the churches who are sleeping and don't understand anything about the prophecies. They are totally in darkness. They don't even preach anymore the prophecies. Don't teach them, because they don't understand them. They are there just to warm up the benches and to give dead sermons. They read them from a piece of paper prepared from before. You know the story in Daniel chapter 6. There was a law that nobody can pray only to the king. And if somebody dared to pray to another god who wasn't the King Darius, that person would have been thrown in the dens of lion. So what does Daniel do? He continues praying. He opens the window towards Jerusalem 3 times a day. He was praying with the window open because that was his habit, praying towards Jerusalem. Obviously, he was seen by his enemies who reported on him, because actually this was a trap prepared for Daniel. And Daniel knew that what he's doing is dangerous, but he remained faithful. He prayed to his God, ready to die. Probably he had a family like many people today, but he was willing to forsake wife, children, family and all, but he did not stop praying to his God. And he was thrown in the dens of lions, but the lions didn't touch him. So when the king came the next morning, concerned about Daniel's life, because they were actually friends, he understood that it was a trap made by the enemies of Daniel, and threw in the dens of lions the 3 enemies who prepared the trap. But now let's see Daniel. He could have made a compromise. He could have said, well, listen, I can pretend I'm praying to the king, but in my heart I can pray to God. I don't have to show anything. I can pretend. But no, he didn't compromise. Today we must do the same concerning evangelization. As I told you, just praying doesn't disturb the devil, because all the churches pray and the devil is there praying with them. But in our days, you can also close the door and pray in private without your spouse seeing you. Yes, of course, you can go in your room and pray. You don't have to pray in public. But prayer has to be the way Jesus did, praying and acting. Because lots of prayers in the churches today are dead prayers. They pray but don't do. So there are prayers like the Pharisees, they value nothing. The devil is not afraid of the Pharisaic prayers, of the passive prayers. Those just help the devil. What really destroys the devil is to pray like Jesus. Pray in secret, pray in your room, but it's a prayer that will make you to get up, to move, to evangelize. What bothers the devil is not a passive prayer, it's the prayer that brings you to evangelization. A Christian who doesn't evangelize, it's a dead Christian, or is dying, or it's a false Christian, or it's half a heart.
Evangelization is our nostro respirare. Vedi come il diavolo predica evangelio operare. Il diavolo opera. Gli omosessuali operano.
Evangelizing for us, it's like breathing. Look at the homosexuals, how they act. The communists, they act. America, they act. They make wars, they bomb. But the Christians, well, the devil convinced them to do nothing. Pray and disobey. So the key is evangelization. We cannot change much of the world because it's been so many centuries of disobedience in the Christian world, but at least we can change 1 life, 10 lives, 10,000 lives. I did that. I got busy for Jesus. I tried to do what God told me, and in my little, I'm trying to change the world around me. You can change the world around you. Every Christian should change the world around him. The whole world will change only after Armageddon, but it will change. So going back to Daniel, let's be faithful in the little, in the least. Let's not compromise. Don't compromise with a wife, with a husband who don't believe. Not to please the politicians. The politicians, they just follow their own interest. But even between them, they keep betraying each other. One takes the place of the other. History tells us that Stalin, he killed 93%, they calculated, of his most close co-workers, because he was afraid that they will take his place. They were all jealous, and this is the world. So let's keep going for Jesus, being faithful in the least. Don't let anybody convince you to stop evangelizing, stop following Jesus, or to not believe the prophecies. If they tell you, follow Jesus, not the prophecies. But excuse me, those prophecies were given by Jesus. And one more scripture. Matthew 5. Get ready to be criticized. Get ready to be persecuted. We will be persecuted by our own brethren, by family, by the neighbors, by friends, by those who love us and by those who hate us. And even by our social friends, those who should love us, often they are the ones who criticize us the most. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden on the foot of man. So we are the salt of the earth. Let's not become without savor. 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let's not stay hidden under the church building. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, parenthesis, under a church, but on a candlestick. And it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's useless to put all this light in one church that only the cars passing by can hear the singing. The light, you don't hide it in a church, but you bring it out on the streets like Jesus did. So glory to God. I give you one more scripture, Matthew 26. I want to talk about watch out for compromises, because one compromise leads to another until our brain doesn't know anymore how to distinguish between the right decisions and the wrong decisions. Matthew 26:14-15. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will you give me if I deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. This was a man, Judas, who in the beginning, he was following Jesus and doing miracles, healing the sick, casting out demons. But one compromise after another, one murmur after another, slowly, slowly, his brain became darkened. And basically, he didn't know anymore the difference between right decisions and wrong decisions. Attention to little compromises. Watch out when a person comes and tells you, don't evangelize, don't give the salvation of Jesus to others, don't talk about Jesus. That is only the devil who stops the evangelization. Anything that stops you from evangelizing, it's always the devil. Because the devil is terrorized by the smallest Christian who evangelizes. So, if you're in an area you cannot talk, give out gospel tracts. Some people probably will throw it away, but many people will also keep it. You also often say about going to evangelize in hospitals, because there people are more desperate, they're not so superficial. If you're in a hard place to evangelize, even Germany, yes, go to hospitals. Go in the visiting hours, and if you can go with somebody, it's better, 2x2, but if you can only go alone, then it's fine. But go in the visiting hours where people believe you're just visiting somebody. Evangelize somebody, pray for their healing. Say you're a Christian, say you're a missionary. Present yourself however you like. Bless them, give them a gospel tract. Because with a gospel tract, you can break the ice. And tell them, I'll pray for you that God heals you. Who can refuse such a thing? Especially in a hospital where they need it. And then don't be afraid of the devil who tells you, don't pray. Ask them, may I pray for your healing? Usually they will say yes, even in Germany. Even in Germany, when they're in the hospital, especially if they know they could die, then they wake up a little.
all'ospedale quando possono essere vicino alla morte.
Because when they are close to death, or they are close to cutting a leg off or an operation, then there they don't pray to Merkel. Oh Merkel, help us! German Prime Minister, please come and help me.
Euro, signori banchieri, venite a confortarmi. Signori politicanti, sono qui all'ospedale, venite a darmi un messaggio di amore. Non
niente.
È così la storia.
No. You cannot call on the politicians, on the euro, come and help me. No, so go there with faith and say, do you have pain? Jesus died on the Calvary to help you, to heal you, to bless you. And then if you can, pull out your little New Testament and read them some scriptures about healing. For example, Acts 10:38, Matthew 10:1, James 5:14-16. And ask them, if you would like, I would pray for you that God will heal you. May I pray that the pain will leave? May I pray that Jesus takes away your pain? You don't have to put your hand on the head of the sick and pray in tongues. It's enough you take their hand in your hands and command the sickness to leave. Pray a sweet prayer, not something to scare them. Say, Lord, I thank you for what you did on Calvary. You saved us and you healed us. Like it says in 1 Peter 2:24, by your stripes we are healed. So Jesus, I pray for this brother, this sister in the hospital. Right now I declare you healed and I command the pain to leave right now. I command this pain to leave in Jesus' name. Always mention the name of Jesus, because the devil has no fear of any other name. In Philippians 2 it says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, even the demons. So insist in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, is the only thing that overcomes the devil. Not my faith or your faith, not the churches, but the name of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. So, I counseled you how to evangelize in Germany. Hospitals are a great place. And the gospel tracts can be an answer. So don't go to the person and say, I came to talk to you about Jesus. They're going to say, please, keep walking. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? The way to evangelize in hard countries is just make friends and listen to them. And make friends. And then slowly, you have to listen even the stupid things that probably they will tell you, because we have to gain our right to evangelize them. We have to gain the time that we speak to them about Jesus. How do you gain it? By listening to them. Whatever they say, after a while your turn will come to talk, and you slowly give them the truth. No. Any more questions? No, I don't have any more questions, but I would like to make a quick resume. So those who have family problems, the solution is to give love, and do not compromise your faith. And always keep evangelizing, because by evangelization, God will solve all your problems. Yes, praying is not enough without acting, otherwise we become like the dead churches. We can close then, and I would like to give you a special scripture which I really like. It's in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. All our sufferings are nothing, because when we go to heaven, we will see the face of Jesus and we will forget all the pain. It's worth it. It's worth it.
Dunque, capitolo 20, verso 24.
Also, I have a scripture to give
Paolo
you, Acts 20,
nessun conto
verse
della mia vita,
24.
Come se mi fosse preziosa.
And none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Amen.
Diciamo che La corsa, il servizio che ci ha affidato da Gesù è
di the race, the ministry which Jesus gave us is to evangelize, give the gospel. Don't let the world stop you. Don't let human beings stop you.
Non lasciare che quelli che ci amano.
Don't let those who love you stop you.
E neanche da quelli che ci odiano.
And don't let those who hate you stop you. Don't let the devil stop you. Keep going serving Jesus, because this is the ministry God gave us, to preach the gospel. Christianity is not a dead, passive thing. It's not a dead religion. The true Christianity is alive, efficient, moves, functions, and the devil always tries to close our mouths. We don't allow him to do it, not through people, not through politicians. In no ways we allow him. Keep going for Jesus, and anything that tries to stop us from evangelization comes from the devil, whether people understand this or not. But behind them, it's always the evil one who's using them to close our mouth from evangelization. We will not compromise, because one compromise leads to another, and soon the mark of the beast will be here. So we are starting now in Jesus' name to fill ourselves with strength, with power, and to say, no, I will keep going for Jesus. No, there is nothing wrong evangelizing. The love of Christ is nothing wrong with it. Nobody can stop me. The martyrs throughout all the ages, they were killed, they were burned, they were crucified, beheaded, assassinated, because they refused to close their mouth and be quiet, because they continued evangelizing. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God. Amen. Thank you, Joseph. Dear brethren, write to us. We are praying for you. May the Lord keep you and protect you as you continue doing His will. Amen.
I have decided I'm gonna live like a believer. Turn my back on the deceiver. I'm gonna live what I believe. I have decided. Deep inside I never changed. I guess I'd been deceived, 'cause a voice inside kept telling me that I'd change by and by. But the Spirit made it clear to me that kind of life's a lie. I have to forget the game.